So Proverbs chapter number 31 and verse number 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessing, Lord, and for giving us this wonderful book, dear God. Thank you for allowing us in America to have conveniently and abundantly copies of the Bible. Lord, something we probably take off for granted, but we are thankful, dear God, for the opportunity, Lord, to study the Bible. And as we study the book of Proverbs, Lord, we pray for wisdom tonight. Lord, you said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, that you would give liberally to that person who would ask. So we, from our hearts, ask, Lord, as we study the book of Proverbs on Wednesday nights and we look at the different people in Proverbs, that you'll use this, Lord, to help us in this area of making sure that our character, Lord, is properly grounded in the pages of the Bible. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. My mom and dad was not saved until they were, my dad was 26 years of age when he was saved. And I want to just say this, and you know, thank God there's exceptions. We know that there's exceptions. But a person back in the 1960s, for the most part, a young couple could get saved that didn't have much church background. But one of the things they did have was character. They had character. They may have been lost, but they knew how to work. They may have been lost, but they paid their bills. They may have been lost, but they wouldn't steal from their neighbor. They may have been lost, but if they shook your hand and made an agreement, they were going to keep it. And one of the real battles that we have here, folks, and by the way, discipleship is much more time-consuming in this culture today than it was 40 years ago, 50 years ago, much more. I have nobody in mind, but we have, let's say, the same age couple. So maybe a young man, 26, married to a young lady, 25, and they walk in Blessed Hope Baptist Church and get saved. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's a very, very strong possibility that the foundation that mom and dad had in their life and was raised to have, this couple may not have much of anything. Not only do they not have character built into them because of the way that we're raising young people today, but a lot of times they've made such drastic mistakes in their life that, you know what, you're not starting from zero and trying to go forward. You're starting way over here in the negatives. Now, listen, I'm not complaining. Thank God. If that's not what we're here for, then what are we here for? Thank God for the opportunity to help people. I'm not griping. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, you used to be able to spend 6 months with a young couple like that, and boy, next thing you know, you plug them in somewhere. You just kind of get some basics solid, and you can start giving them responsibilities and jobs, and you point this out, point that out, and shore a few things up, and let them sit under preaching for a while. And man, you know, 12, 18 months later, you can plug them in almost anywhere in the church. And the process is just not the same. As I looked at our theme, Founded Upon a Rock, I thought, you know what? Lord, if there's an area that we need to work on, and you young people are blessed, you ought to be and should grow up to be the exception to the culture. You really should. You have a great opportunity to be raised in Christian homes and to be sheltered from a lot of the wrong influences with the different ministries that are provided here for you. And your character, you ought to work very, very hard on that. Make sure that you're what you ought to be. Now, I will tell you this. Brother Reiser started teaching through, and I'm not going to try to overlap him a lot, although we will overlap a little bit in the beginning lessons here. But he said that him and his sister Alyssa, it had been several years since they taught through the Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, which basically, folks, is a proverb study for the most part, helping our teenagers in our Sunday school hour. But one of the things I told him about, I said, I'm going to tell you, you get to preaching on wisdom and defining it according to the book of Proverbs, the foolish man and the simple man, and you'll always stir up a hornet's nest. I have not taught on any other subject, the few times I've taught it, both in this church and other churches, where I didn't rub more people the wrong way than I do when we get into the book of Proverbs and let God speak as to what are character traits of the wise and what are character traits of the foolish. But you know what? I'm not surprised. You know why? Because the book of Proverbs predicted that a foolish person would react foolishly when their foolishness is pointed out. But you know what? We ought to be wiser than that. We ought to be better than that. If there's something in my life that God has identified as a trait of foolishness, I sure want to know about it. No, I'm not going to have it pointed out in a Bible study, get in the car and criticize the preacher on the way home. If I'm in a Sunday school class, I'm not going to listen to it taught by Brother Riser or Sister Alyssa and go home and whine about it. Face up to it. Check it out. If it's true, then change it. Amen. That's what the Word of God is supposed to do. And so the Bible says the rebuke a wise man, he'll be wiser still. But you rebuke a foolish man, you know what? He gets caustic. He gets angry. He gets feelings hurt. Feelings hurt. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall... Well, my children had their feelings hurt. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Say, I know how to fix that. Tell them to love the Bible. They love the Bible, that nothing will offend them. If they don't love the Bible, everything's going to offend them. And so I'm just preparing you. In this day and age, character and studies on character and studies in the book of Proverbs, they're not the most popular thing. But I don't know if there's anything more needed. We need to be confronted from the Scriptures as far as these basic things. Now, as I began to teach last week, the fear of the Lord and the study of the fear of the Lord should always, I think, be the first study that anyone does before they begin to try to gain wisdom from the Scriptures. You know why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility. Now we saw that there are traits of Christians who fear the Lord. A Christian who chooses to fear the Lord, and the fear of the Lord, we'll show you tonight, is a choice. It is a choice. A young person or a Christian who chooses to fear the Lord will naturally excel in both knowledge and wisdom. They'll gain it. They'll get it. They'll grasp it. A young person or a Christian who does not fear the Lord passes by the beginning place of both wisdom and knowledge and wisdom. So I want to know what the fear of the Lord is, and I want to make sure it's a part of my life. What is the fear of the Lord? Let's review a little bit. A fear of the Lord is not a fear of ever, let me just give you this, is not a fear of ever forfeiting the love of God. I don't fear God ceasing to love me. I don't have to fear that. Okay? It's not being afraid that the Lord would stop loving me. It's not being afraid that God's no longer going to keep me in his family or allow me to be his son. The fear of the Lord, though, is a reverential respect, but it's beyond that. It's an understanding that God, as our Father, loves us enough to chasten us. And you know what? I don't want to run sideways of him. I don't want to run sideways of him. And so God doesn't keep it hidden as far as what the rules and regulations are. He's written a book for us, so we know the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. And most of the time, beside the thou shalt not, if we thou shalt instead of thou shalt not, there's usually an explanation of the punishment we're going to receive. And we shouldn't be surprised or angry at God if God has told us, don't do this, and if you disobey, this is what's going to happen, and then we disobey and that happens, and then we're mad at God. No, we should be mad at ourselves. And so the fear of the Lord is the same kind of fear as a young person would have who loves their father and knows that as long as they're within the boundaries of the rules, they have nothing to fear from their father. But if they step outside the boundaries of the rules, that they have a father that loves them enough to chasten them for their own good. And that's, I think, a proper view of the fear of the Lord. Now, what are the traits of somebody who fears the Lord? Well, you'll notice that wisdom and knowledge seems to be easily learned. They grasp it, they get it. Humility, we talked about, is a trait of somebody who fears the Lord. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. By humility and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So we see this adder of a trait. So a Christian who claims to fear the Lord, but they don't seem to grasp wisdom or knowledge, and they're proud and arrogant. They may say they fear the Lord, but they don't fear the Lord. Number three, they detest evil. A person, a Christian who fears the Lord, will depart from evil. Proverbs 3:7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 14:2, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. Now, what does that mean? That means this, that when I am faced with evil, and I understand that God has promised to judge evil, I fear the Lord enough to turn and depart from evil. You know why? Because I don't want to participate in something that's going to bring the judgment of God into my life. I'm just not going to do it. How many of you just understand that even if you're living right and doing right, life's hard? I preached a message one time entitled, "Why Make It Harder Than It Is?" I mean, if you're doing everything to the best of your ability, and nobody's perfect, but if you're doing everything to the best of your ability, life's still hard. Then on top of that, you want to constantly do things that's going to put you sideways with God? You know, that just doesn't make any sense. Why make life harder than it is? Life's going to be difficult for everybody. And then on top of it, to get God standing against you, to lose God's blessing and protection. And so I don't want to fall there. Now, young people, that means if you fear the Lord, you'll hate evil. You'll detest evil. That means another young person says, "Hey, come and do this with me." And you know what? It's wrong to do. It's just flat wrong to do. Then you know what you're going to do? You're going to say no, because I fear the Lord. Hey, that's a good answer. It'd be nice if we had some young people just say, "No, I'm sorry, but I just fear the Lord too much to do that." If you want to do that, hey, let's talk about this. No, I fear the Lord too much. I just fear the Lord too much. If y'all want to do that, it's fine, but I just fear the Lord too much. And so, detest evil. Respect for God-given authority. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King. Virtue's the last one we didn't get to, and I wanted to cover that. You know, this book of Proverbs here, chapter 31, who can find in verse 10 a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. And then, of course, you're familiar. We won't go through and teach this, but one of the things that it said down here in verse 30, young ladies, don't miss this. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Amen. That's right. It is. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And so don't get caught up in all this craziness out there. I mean it. I want to help our young ladies. We're in a culture that just puts such pressure on our young ladies. And everything's become about the outward appearance and very little about the inward heart. People are more impressed by a young lady that is outwardly beautiful than has inward character. Well, God's not. God says, an ornament of gold and a pig's snout. Likens that to the woman that is beautiful but has no virtue, has no wisdom. And so in God's eyes, the most important thing to do is to fear Him. If you fear the Lord, you'll be praised. If you chase the trappings of this culture and fall for what they say is important in a woman, then you know what? You're going to be deceived. You're going to be chasing vanity. But if you fear the Lord, you know what? God will take care of you, and you're going to rise to the top. And that's the person that people are going to end up respecting. Well, if I don't dress this way and do this way and look this way, I'm not going to be popular. Well, popular where? Popular with who? Bible says if you fear the Lord, you'll be praised. And that same group that you're trying so hard to win their approval of, once they use you and abuse you and then lose you, you're going to wish you hadn't spent so much time trying to impress them, spent more time trying to impress the Lord. And virtue, if you have to dress like the world and act like the world, young ladies, and cross biblical boundaries in order to try to impress a young man, he ain't worth impressing. He's not worth impressing. Okay, so you know what? Just fear the Lord. And so we have this matter of virtue. Now I want to take you through a quick Bible study tonight on the benefits of fearing the Lord. God seldom in the Bible asks us to do something without giving us good reasons to do it. He not only is a God that has punishment connected with disobedience, but he has reward that's connected with obedience. And so it's kind of like the demerits, merits in school. Okay, if you do wrong, you're going to get demerits. If you do right, you got a chance to earn merits. Well, you know what? That's based on the principles of the Bible. God does not just say, if you disobey, I'm going to correct you. He said, if you obey, I'm going to bless you. I remember years ago, I preached a message in chapel. This is way back when it used to be downstairs over here in that little room there, the Sister Darcy's room. But I went through the Old Testament and preached. There's an entire chapter, and I'm not going to be able to reference where it is now, that half of the chapter lists, if you'll do this, I'll bless you. If you'll do this, I'll bless you. If you do this, I'll bless you. If you do this, I'll bless you. And it was God's, part of the law of God to the Israelites. And if you do this, I'll curse you. And do this, I'll curse you. And do this, I'll curse you. And so what I did was I brought in the chapel a table about like this, and I put a bell over here, and I put a bell over here. You remember that? You remember this? It's because it changed your life, brother. Amen. Amen. It changed your life. It changed your life. So at least we know who to blame now. And there was a bell here and a bell here. And then right behind the bell, I put a paddle. Yeah, this is back in the days when it was legal. Paddle. And over here, we put a candy bar. And I went into great detail. Took 5, 6, 7 minutes to explain. This is the good bell. I'm going to have some of you come up in a minute, and you're going to have a chance to ring one of these two bells. So there's no confusion. If you ring this one, the one beside the candy bar, you get the candy bar. If you ring this one, the one beside the paddle, I'm going to light you up. I'm going to light you up. Okay? Then I'd go like this. Which one is this one? The good one. Everybody say, the good one. What do you get with it? Candy bar. This is the bad bell. Don't ring the bad bell. And, you know, then after all that, I said, okay, now there's no trick. There is no trick. Any questions? All right, you, come up here. The kid walked up like, oh, no. I said, now, you got a choice. You can ring one of the bells. Now, you remember, you got any questions? What is this one? Made sure you understand. You know, he wasn't a dummy. He reached over there and got the good bell and rang it, and he got a candy bar. Now, folks, that may seem like an oversimplification, but it's not. You know, God hasn't got all these little hidden rules that he's just waiting, you know, to zap you that you don't know. No, he's very specific about, if you do this and these things, I'll bless you. And if you do these things, you're going to bring a curse into your life. Well, I'm not a rocket scientist, and maybe I'm even just a tad selfish, but I want to know that good list. Because I'd rather do things that's going to cause the Almighty God of the universe to reach down and bless me than I would do the dumb things that's going to make him have to light me up. Okay? And so, young people, that sounds so simple, but the honest truth is it's the biggest struggle that you're going to face in your entire life. You know why? Because you have a sin nature. There's something inside of every one of us when we walk up and we have the two bells and we know the consequences. There's something inside of us that says, I wonder if he really meant that. I wonder what's really going to happen if I just, I wonder. You know, that's called a sin nature. And there's something about us that if we say, all right, here's the line. Play from here over, don't cross that line. All the kids are playing right here by the line and wondering why they can't go over. You know what's called? It's called a sin nature. It is. And it's just not in the kids, it's in all of us. And yet God has made it so simple for us. He said, listen, I want to bless you. I want to reward you. The rules are there for a reason. And so I'm not only going to tell you that there's a punishment connected with disobeying the rules, I'm going to try to bribe you into doing right. And we're still such a mess. We are. We are still such a mess that seems like half the time we're ringing the wrong bell. Now, that may seem like an oversimplification, but I promise it's not. Why don't you just wake up tomorrow morning and just say, God, you know what? When I'm faced with a choice, I'm ringing the right bell. All right, when there's right or wrong, I'm just going to ring right. Okay, when I got an opportunity to say something, I can say the right thing or the wrong thing, I'm going to say the right thing. You know why? Because the God of the universe has promised to bless me if I'll live a righteous life. You know, all right, old man, dead man, you know, God, Christ crucified you on the cross. You ain't going to run my life. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. I got the Holy Spirit of, and here's the thing, God puts it in His Word. He puts the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit is cheering us on at every opportunity to make a choice, cheering on us on to make the right choice. And despite all, and we've got authorities around us that are encouraging us to do it, and there's all the benefits of doing it, and still half the time we just walk around in our own stubbornness and rebellion, and you know what? Well, I don't care what everybody else is going to do. I'm going to ring this bell. Well, let me just tell you this. You're starting something in your life that's going to cause you to have a lot of heartache. I mean, honestly. And you're not just going to hurt you. You're going to hurt a lot of other people. And so, you know, it's a great moment in your life when you come to the decision, I want to just please the Lord. I just want to face decisions in life and say, you know what, I don't care what the short-term benefit seems to be of doing wrong, I'm going to do what's right. And when you begin to do that and you begin to get that blessed life and the blessings begin to come, it doesn't mean all your problems go away, but the blessings begin to come and you begin to see God's hand in your life. You begin to see the little ways that He blesses you and just out of the blue sometimes, and the peace of God that comes with it. You don't have to walk around feeling guilty all the time, worrying about who's going to find out what you did wrong. If you just live that life, what a blessed life it is. So does God encourage us to live a life where we fear the Lord? Yes. What does He promise us? You're going to have to move quick through the Scriptures. Proverbs 10:27. Let's look at this. The first thing that He promises us is extended life on earth. Well, that's pretty good. Extended life on earth. He says, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll throw in a few extra days, maybe in a few extra months, and you know what, maybe in a few extra years. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Well, I want to talk about where I was today, but I can't. I think some of you understand why I can't. I want to talk about where I was today. I want to talk about where some of y'all were last night. But we can't talk about that. But you know. Okay. Proverbs 14:27. Look at there real quick. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Isn't that exciting? Think about that thought. A fountain of life. See, folks, there's existing and then there's living. Not only is He talking about prolonging your days, but every day you experience not just life, you experience a fountain of life. I like that. To depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. You know, there is just an inward bubbling reward of walking up to a situation where you could have done wrong and you could have done right, and maybe nobody else in the universe would have known one way or another except Almighty God, and you went ahead and did right. And you know what? Right has its own built-in reward. You can walk away from a situation and it's like there's a fountain of life bubbling. There's the inside approval of God. There's the still small voice that says, attaboy, attaboy. You made me proud, son. You did good. Boy, isn't that a blessing? How about Proverbs 19:23? I like this. It says, prolongeth days. It says it's the fountain of life. And then Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. So now we're not just experiencing prolonged days and experiencing this fountain of life, but he that hath it shall abide satisfied. Some people, listen, it comes with wickedness and it comes with disobedience. There's this inner dissatisfaction with almost everything in your life when you're living in rebellion. When a person is living in rebellion against God, I don't care if you're outwardly conforming, inside you're living with rebellion against God, you know what? You are not inwardly satisfied about anything. It doesn't matter what happens, you're down deep going, and you're robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself. How about chapter 22, verse 4? It's talking about this word life again. We'll cover this some of these benefits in a minute. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. So number one, extended life on the earth. Number two, a strong confidence. Look at Proverbs 14 and verse 26. And you'll be flipping around in Proverbs some tonight. Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord is, I like this, strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Now, let me tell you what happens to somebody that just decides, I'm going to live my life in the fear of the Lord. I'm going to live my life in respect of God and in respect of where the boundaries are, and I'm going to depart from evil because I don't want the judgment that's going to come upon that evil to come upon me. So I'm going to stay within the boundaries of what the Bible said is right to do and right to live. But I'm going to tell you something. You wake up every day, and pretty soon, you know what? There's a confidence about you that you'll never have in sin. There's a confidence about you. I love this. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. You know, some knuckleheads run around here sneaking around doing wrong every chance you get. Somebody just stares at you and looks at you and you feel guilty. You don't have any confidence. You don't have any strong confidence about anything. You know why? Because the wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold as a lion. You know, if you've just done right, what have you got to worry about? What have you got to fear? It's a wonderful to live a guilt-free life. Does that mean you're perfect? No, it doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're going to mess up. And when you mess up, you get it right with God first. And you get it right, if you need to, with people second. And you go on. And you know what? There's something wonderful about living that life. Proverbs 15, 16. You're close to that. Turn, if you will, Proverbs 15, 16. I like this. Strong confidence. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. So you know what? Someone that fears the Lord says, you know what? I might do wrong here, and I might even get by with it for a while, and it might seem to work to my advantage because I'll get all this stuff if I do it. But you know what? Trouble's coming. Now, I could do that, get something that I probably shouldn't have or God doesn't want me to have. If he wanted me to have it, it wouldn't have to come this way. I could do this and seem to come short-term ahead, but I know trouble's around the corner. Or I could just be satisfied with what I have, walk away from that, and you know what? Better to live in the fear of the Lord with just a little than to get gain and then have trouble come on its heels. So there's a strong confidence. A young man who gets right with God, and I don't mean plays the game, I don't mean pretends to, but really gets right with God, really gets right with people and decides, you know, I'm going to live my life every day of my life, walking right, talking right, doing right. Pretty soon, you know what, you'll see his shoulders will be squared up. He'll be able to look clear-eyed at every authority. He'll be able to start enjoying church services, and he'll be the one on the front row in the Sunday school class, taking notes and smiling and enjoying himself. It's a better life. It's a better life. How about this? Proverbs 19:23. Flip over there. We have extended life on earth. The benefits of fearing the Lord. Extended life on earth. Strong confidence. How about this? Contentment. I mentioned this a minute ago. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it abides satisfied. Contentment. You know what you figure out after a while when you live this type of life? The Lord really is enough. Oh, people say that, but no. The Lord, he's really enough. He really is. To have his approval. You know what? I'd rather have all of... If the choice was, all of you are going to be mad at me, and all of you are going to fuss at me. I mean, all of you could turn your back on me. But I could look to heaven and see the smile of God. If I had to choose one of the two, I love y'all. And I wouldn't want to go through that because I love y'all. But I'd rather have his smile than the applause of every man on the face of this earth. I'd rather be counted a dog by the world and a champion for Christ than a champion for the world and a dog in the eyes of Jesus Christ, a traitor to him. And when you begin to understand that, you know what? You just learn to live content. Proverbs 23, verse number 17. I love this. Here's what, and I'm talking a lot to young people, but listen, young people, you know what? book of Proverbs talks a lot to young people. My son, my son, my son. This is one of the primary books that in your youth that you ought to study. The Bible's plain about that. Proverbs 23:17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Contentment. Yeah, but look what we are getting by with. Well, y'all go ahead. Don't envy them. Yeah, but look what we're doing that you don't get to do. Y'all go ahead. Yeah, but look what we gain that you don't have. Y'all go ahead. Y'all go ahead. You know, live it up. Seem to have it all. You know, smirk at the ones that are being obedient. Go ahead. Laugh, scorn, do whatever. But you know what? I think it was R.G. Lee said, the payday someday is written in the constitution of God's universe. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Then it goes on to say this, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap. And everybody's planting seeds. Y'all threw some seeds out, and so did I today. We're spreading seeds everywhere we go. And those seeds are going to find root, and those seeds are going to grow, and they're going to produce some kind of fruit. You cast your bread on the water, many days it'll return. You know what? Just do right, young people. It don't seem like it's paying off. Well, it may not seem that way for a while, but it will pay off. But it seems like they're breaking all the rules and they're getting ahead. Oh, no, no, you don't understand. God always writes the last chapter of everybody's life. God writes the last chapter of everybody's life. You know, most of the time, those that are doing right don't seem to be winning. And the ones that do wrong seem to be winning. But that's the short-term view. You know, God looks down and says, life's a long time. And sometimes God's good to the ones that are doing wrong and the wrong ones that are doing right. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. Just because God doesn't zap them the first time they do it with a lightning bolt, and by the way, you ought to be glad, or he'd have zapped you or me first time we done something. So God's patient. God's long-suffering. God, even a lot of times, somebody gets off away from God and God doesn't take him to the woodshed right away. Sometimes he showers them with even more blessings to shame them with his goodness. Here, God, here I'm out here living like a rascal. All you do is bless me. And God would rather correct you with good than bad. But if you walk past that, there's going to be a day where God says, now, son, I've been patient and I love you, but I'm not going to let you make a fool out of the name of my son. I'm not going to let you shame my son's name. And so God's good. But contentment. You know what? There's got to be just something inside of here. And I want to talk to you young men for a minute. All you young men, listen to me. There's got to be something inside of here that what you are in here and what you experience in here in the doing of right means more to you than anything anybody can say in your life. You got to be willing sometimes to be scorned, to be made fun of for doing right. You got to be willing to turn around and walk up, you know, swim upstream when everybody else is floating downstream. You ought to be willing to do it. And if you never do that, you're never going to amount to much. It's tough. It's not always easy. Yeah, there's just times it's easier just go with the flow. I'm not talking about preaching them a sermon or trying to be everybody else's mama. I'm just talking about, sorry guys, nope. If that's what you're going to do and this is what this is about, I'm going to go on over here. Y'all just do whatever. But you know what? You just figured out what it is to be a man. You just figured it out. In that moment, something clicks. In that moment, God looks down. He notices. He says, huh, I might be able to use that guy down the road. I might be able to trust him with something down the road. Huh, I think I'm just going to keep an eye on that boy. He'll see if he keeps proving himself out like. And I got something in mind. He's just the guy. That's just the kind of guy I need for right there. But, you know, the ones that can't stand, the ones that let a handful of rebels control you, God looks and goes, what can I trust them with? They won't stand up for me in the church house. How can I trust them with something that they'd have to stand up for me in the world over? You girls, just listen to me, girls. I'm just talking to you. You girls, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care who seems to be winning. You stay the course. You do right. Well, preacher, it just seems, I know what it seems like. It's always going to seem like that way for a while. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Okay? You're going to blink once and be 20, and blink a couple more times and be 35, and blink another, and you know what? You go look up the ones that thought they were winning. You go look up the ones that thought they were winning, thought they could take the shortcuts, thought they had everybody. Just go look them up. And you know what? You're going to fall on your face and shout out, glory to God, I didn't follow that path. Glory to God, I didn't follow that path. Just keep fearing the Lord. Sorry, guys. I do not fear what you're going to say about me more than I fear the Lord. I don't fear more about what your opinion might be of me than I fear the Lord. There's nothing you can do that to me is worse than disappointing the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to stay the course. That's an exciting place to get. Let me show you real quickly, Proverbs 19:23. Isn't this good for us? Isn't God good? I mean, he shouldn't have to offer us anything. He ought to just say, do it, and because he's God, we ought to do it if there isn't any blessings that come with it. But God's such a generous God. He's such a good God. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be what? Protection from evil. Protection from evil. Preacher, is it really pay to do right? Yeah, but most of us are going to have to get to heaven to see some of the benefits.
Yes, sir.
You know how many times God looks at somebody that in their heart of hearts, I didn't say they were perfect, but in their heart of hearts, they have determined, they try every day of their lives to do the right thing. You know how many times evil has come their way and God has just reached down a protective hand and said, uh-uh, you aren't touching them. Nope, not them. Don't get to do it. Here comes evil from this direction. God steps up. Nope. Nope. Sorry. You're leaving them alone. They fear me. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
Proverbs 22:4, we already read. Let's take a look at that. We'll glean two more quickly. By humility and the fear of the Lord, 22:4, are, what's the three things there? Riches and honor and? Okay, riches. You know what that means in the Hebrew? Riches. Now, come on. We're all a little selfish, and we're a lot more materialistic than we'd like to. You know, I always like the Christian that says, Brother Jerry, would you pray for me? Pray that I'll win the lottery. Because if I win the lottery, I'll give it to the Lord. Amen. I'll help this missionary. I'll pave your parking lot. Hallelujah. You win the lottery, I want it in gold, paved in gold is what I want. And all of us really kind of think that we could handle a lot more money than God allows us to have. How many of you might agree that God might know more about what Jerry Ross can handle than Jerry Ross knows about what Jerry Ross can handle? But you know what? The word riches there, we are kind of materialistically minded, but you know, some of the greatest riches of life has nothing to do with money. Now, I think God does. I think God just sometimes chooses to bless in a materialistic way somebody that has lived their life to fear the Lord. You know why? He's learned he could trust him. He learns he can trust him. But when we think about riches, we just tend to think about gold and silver and materialistic things. Can I say this? I had a rich day today. As much as I whined about it a minute ago. I mean, you take five children, grandchildren, all five and younger to McDonald's, that's an adventure right there, man. That's an adventure. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing. You know, God pays you in a lot of ways. God pays you in a lot of ways for serving him. It's not all coinage. It's not all something that can be put in some bank account. Hey, preacher, are you rich? Nope, but I live a rich life. I do. I live a rich life. I dare you to find a millionaire happier than me. No, I mean it. I mean it. And I'd like the opportunity to make him as happy as me. And maybe just experience his misery just for a few brief moments. Here comes my carnality again. No, I mean it. I mean it. I mean this. I dare you to find a millionaire happier than me. And it doesn't mean that we don't have our challenges and heartaches, and I shed tears like y'all shed tears. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad as a young teenager in this church, when I was being pulled two different directions, there was a day I just said, you know what, I think I'll just live in the fear of the Lord. And then if that hair lips everybody in the county, it hair lips everybody in the county. That means I don't have a friend. It means I don't have a friend. But I think I'll just opt for that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I think I'll just please him. And whatever that brings me in life, it just brings me in life. But you know what? I'm going to fear God. I'm going to trust that in the end, God will be better to me than Satan would be. You think Satan rewards for service? You think Satan pays like God? He's a cruel taskmaster. Not only does he want full obedience, at the end of the day, you know what? Listen, every apple that the devil's ever offered a young person has a razor in it. I don't care what he dangles in front of you. I don't care how good it looks. It never pays off. Honor, by humility and the fear of the Lord, are riches and honor. Think about this. I think I know the word, but I'm not sure. I just had this thought. What would be maybe an opposite of honor? If you were to honor somebody, you know what that means. What would be the opposite of honor? Dishonor. I was kind of thinking of the word shame. I could honor this young man or I could shame this young man. And you know what? I've watched folks, people that spend their life deciding they're going to live for the devil, live for the world. Shame after shame after shame after shame after shame. And yet if you just live for God, it's not that you do it for honor, but isn't it amazing how many times God just says, I'm going to bring honor to you. And life. Let me give you a couple more verses to look at, and this will be done. Then Proverbs 28:14. We're going to get out of here by 8 o'clock. Well, at least I'll be done preaching by 8. I don't know if we'll get out by then. We got a business meeting, don't we? Well, you ought to underline this, young people. Watch this. Watch this. Proverbs 28:14. Let's make this the last verse. What's the first word there? Happy is the man that feareth sometimes, always. He that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Look right up here. Look right up here. You got a choice right now. You can decide, I think I'll fear the Lord always. And there'll be always is, folks. Listen to me. The Word of God makes you make a choice. Maybe a young person sits in here, and you know what? During the whole message, you've sat there and you've hardened your heart against what God has been trying to do in your life. But you know what? You're sacrificing happiness. Happy is the man that feareth always. Preacher, what's a great benefit of just fearing the Lord? Just the ability to be by yourself and smile? Just the ability to be driving down the road and laugh and people think you're nuts? I used to worry about people that I'd pass and they're talking to themselves. Now I just look, they usually have something in their ear. You know, they're not really talking to themselves. There's so much technology around. Someone that looks like they're talking to themselves aren't talking to themselves. But you know what? I can't tell you. And listen, I'm no good Christian. I'm not an example of anything. But I can't tell you how many times during the day, for no reason except the fact that God lets me do what I get to do every day, I'll just smile. I will laugh in my office. My wife will come in every once in a while, speak her head in. What are you up to? I'll say, good. Always good, honey. I'm up to good. That's what I'm up to. How come the rebel's always the one with the sour expression? How come the rebel's always the one that's never having a good time, no matter how hard we try to show them a good time around here? How come the person that's living in disobedience just never seems to be able to enjoy much of anything? But if I had this, I'd enjoy. And when you get it, you still look like a sourpuss. You know why? Because happy is the man that feareth all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been allowed here. Thank you for being such a generous God. Lord, help us to live in the fear of the Lord. Help us to understand that. Dear God, tomorrow, I guarantee you, there won't be a one of us probably tomorrow that's not faced with an opportunity to do either right or wrong. May we fear you enough to do the right thing. When we're tempted to say the right thing or wrong thing, may we say the right thing. Lord, when we have an option, a choice to have a good attitude or a bad attitude, I pray that you'd help us to have a good attitude. When we have an opportunity to be obedient or disobedient, Lord, may we choose to be obedient. For this reason, we fear God. We fear God. We don't want to be associated with evil. We want to depart from evil. You've promised to judge evil. Lord, may we not be caught in the crosshairs of your judgment. I pray, Lord, for the young person in this room, maybe struggling a bit. Lord, I certainly know what that is. I know what it's like. Been there. I pray, dear God, that in the still, quiet hours of this evening, maybe as they're getting ready for bed, or in the watch night hours, Lord, maybe in the middle of the night, you just shake them awake for a while. Your Holy Spirit begin to speak to them. I pray as they go through the day tomorrow, Lord, and the opportunities that are there, I just pray that they would have something inside of them. Just begins to well up, a love for you and a determination to do right. God, help us all. We didn't have time to teach all of it, Lord, and we're probably going to move on to another subject, but the Bible teaches that the fear of the Lord must be maintained. We can have it and we can lose it. And that it's a choice. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to choose right, we pray. In